Hi, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks as always for tuning into Northern Transmissions. This week I had the chance to chat with Emily and Tucker from the New York City band Total Slacker.
And you guys are based out of Brooklyn, and like a lot of other young bands. And you came from Salt Lake City originally, and I think Emily was from Santa Fe, along with your drummer. What's the, was it culture shock for you moving there?
For me, it was a culture shock because I think I was only used to, like, one way of living, you know, like, growing up in the suburbs, and then the only other thing you do is you go to college and you get a job, or, like, you know, a lot of kids don't even go to college because Salt Lake City isn't really a rich town, you know, so a lot of people just go straight into working, you know, entry-level jobs, and then they, you know, start families and, you know, like, really big Mormon families. So, yeah, it was a culture shock for me.
Yeah, but, like, where you notice, like, the difference musically is, I guess it's much easier to be creative because there's a lot more of a music scene going on where you are.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. You know, the strange thing about Salt Lake City, though, is that I don't know if it's this way in other smaller towns, but, like, there's actually a lot of really good bands and musicians in Salt Lake, but they just never really get the exposure, never really get out, you know, and, like, but some really talented people, and yeah, I still talk with a lot of people about Colin, and, you know, they all want to move to New York, they all want to move to Brooklyn and try to do the same thing we're doing, but they just, you know, they're kind of stuck there, you know.
Yeah, Santa Fe, not so much. There's, like, it's just so small. I mean, there's, like, one local punk band, one local metal band, and a few singer-songwriters.
You've been on, like, CNN, NBC, VH1, BBC, and now, of course, the prestigious Northern Transmission. Things are happening pretty quick for the band over the past while. Are you guys excited with all the coverage?
Yeah, it's been a pretty short amount of time. But we worked really hard at it, so I'm glad people are paying attention.
It's kind of a strange thing, you know, like, there's kind of an existential thing that happens when you realize people are starting to pay attention to what you're doing, because, you know, maybe it's a typical thing that happens right before that happens, but, like, you know, you go through this cycle of wondering if anyone's ever going to care about what you're doing, you know, and then when people start actually talking about it or writing about it, or when you start getting, like, you know, find out that we're selling albums and stuff like that, like, then it puts a whole different perspective on it, and it's kind of invigorating, and all of a sudden you start to produce more because you feel like there's, like, a niche market now, like, paying attention, so you get more productive, and I think that's what's happened to us is right now we're, like, writing a lot. And we're recording a lot and just really looking forward to the future and wanting to produce more, you know?
Your families must be pretty proud. I mean, you're on, you know, like CNN and NBC. It's something that, you know, the parents watch, so they must have been pretty excited.
Yeah, I just talked to my dad the other day, actually, and told him about some of that stuff. And he's, like, kind of a hermit. He's sort of, like, lives in isolation. And the fact that he knew the publications and stuff that were getting mentioned in was, like, a really big deal.
Let's switch gears here and finally get into some music. This is the track Shitty Baby.
Don't really like it, but she likes me. I've got a shitty baby here.
I hope you guys are enjoying my conversation as much as I am with Total Slacker. Thanks, Emily and Tucker. If you want any more information about the band, they have downloads available, tour information, and all that stuff. You can go to their MySpace page or their Facebook group. If you'd like some information about our show, you can go to northerntransmissions.com. We're also on Twitter at northerntrans, so please check us out as well.
Your single, A Crystal Necklace, was released on the English label Fierce Pan. How did you guys get involved with that?
Yeah, that was kind of random. You know, that's actually, I think that's Death Cab for Cutie's label. Really bizarre. And I think we literally just got an email from them, and they were just like, hey, we're putting together this compilation with Beach Fossils and Dum Dum Girls and Widow's Peak, and like, would you like to be on it? And we were thrilled, you know. So, and then we had to get permission from the label here in Brooklyn that originally released that single on vinyl, on 7-inch vinyl, and it worked out. And I guess it was just like a limited like run of 300 cassettes or something like that, you know.
Do you guys still listen to that format, or do you plan to put anything else
out of that? Yeah, definitely. Well, our debut LP that came out in London, Thrashing, 5 months ago, that was also released, co-released in Japan on cassette tape at the same time. So, and we still got a box full of those left that we're going to bring on tour with us now. We've got cassettes to sell, and we've got vinyls, and but I love the format. In fact, we were kind of thinking about actually doing, we were actually thinking of doing our next album available on VHS also. The whole album on a VHS tape. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be really cool. Tell me about the new 7-inch Brain Slime.
We have a few 7-inches coming out. That's one of them, with Brain Slime, and then that's a really new song that we're really excited about. So I'm glad we sort of were able to just write it and get it out while we're still really hyped on it. And then there's like an older song that we've been sitting on for a while, and it's good. And then a really awesome instrumental jam on the B side, which is so much fun. And then and that song, 16 Tambourines, Japanese label. And they're also helping us release a split with the band Friends. And we heard one of their songs, and they're covering one of ours.
That's great. Well, I wanted to ask you about the song Brain Slime. It's a great title, and what's the inspiration behind the song?
It's kind of a strange song, you know. It's kind of about a few things. I think right off the top, it's about, on the peripheral surface, it's about nervous anxiety and dealing with nervousness and dealing with, like, I think living in New York in general and not really, like, okay, how to put this, you know, it's like coming from Salt Lake and then living in New York. I don't think I'm ever going to really get used to living here, but I enjoy it, you know. I really love New York. I think it's, like, a really beautiful, romantic place, and it's always changing. There's, you know, really interesting and amazing things always happening every day, but at the same time, it's like, I don't think if I was writing music or playing in a band with Emily, that I would be living here personally, you know. So it's kind of this dichotomy. It has to like happen, and I have to be here. And a result, you know, if I could actually just be like a hermit and stay home all the time, then I would. But I can't, you know. So we play a lot of shows and stuff like that. And Brain Slime, just I think about trying to deal with a little bit of nervousness on that part. And maybe social anxiety. In the end, it turns out all right, because you realize in the song that, you know, everybody kind of goes through their own little social anxieties, you know, and it's not that big of a deal.
Another thing about singles, you also covered Grime, Oblivion. She's from my hometown. What was are you guys a big fan of her?
Yeah, I had always wanted to cover one of her songs ever since we first found out about her about, 6 months ago. And some mutual friends have been, like, trying to get us to listen to her music for a long time. And then I think it just all kind of culminated when it seemed like there were two different songs we might cover, and I don't know, that one just seemed like it just made sense to do Oblivion, because I felt like I could really hear that one like explode and get really heavy and dark and like turn into kind of a all grunge kind of thing in the middle, how it does. And it's really fun. Like, I actually want to turn it into a live song and put it into our set. So we'll see if maybe we do that in the future. I don't know. What do you think, Emma?
Maybe.
You know, it's interesting, though. My friend at Brooklyn Vegan, like, we found out that there's been, like, 600 downloads of that cover.
It's a great version, and it's also timely, because that song, too, was getting a lot of airplay.
I think it's mainly aesthetic, you know. I'm totally honored that people ever make that comparison. I mean, those are like two huge musical creative giants in the Western world, and it's a really neat thing for people to kind of make a comparison like that. Like, you could do a lot worse, but at the same time, like, I feel like a lot of reasons why people make that comparison, especially to Thurston Moore, are for two reasons. Like, number one, you know, I'm tall and thin and I have blonde hair and I like to play Fender guitars and make noise, but I don't particularly write songs like Thurston Moore, and I don't have the same perception of like how I want to approach pop music as he does. And although I have a lot of respect for what he does, but then the second thing is, like, you know, we're like a girl guy couple band. Emily plays bass, and sings, I sing, play guitar, so it's like immediately people draw back on this, yeah. This kind of, like, you know what I mean?
You're the Kim and Thurston of this generation.
It's really cool. I think it's really cool. And we met Thurston once, and he was a really nice guy, and you know, I look up to him and stuff, but, I mean, I'm actually way more into the idea of being compared to Lou Reed, because he's, like, actually one of my huge heroes. Like, and I met Lou one time, actually, at Lincoln Center.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was just a total coincidence thing. It wasn't like anything that was planned. I was just there. I was working backstage in production, It was like my first job that I had when I moved to New York 4 years ago. And he was there doing a set with his wife, you know, Laurie Anderson.
Yeah, of course.
And so Laurie Anderson was doing a set at Lincoln Center, and he kind of did like a little cameo and play guitar on one song. And I was hanging out backstage, and like all the kids that worked there were like bugging him and trying to like get his autograph and shake his hand and stuff. And like, I just kind of watched from afar, and I had this whole thing going through me like, man, like if this guy only knew how much he really inspired me, and like if he only knew like how much people are going to associate what I'm trying to do with what he did, like either he'd be like really mad or he'd be really honored. But I didn't really go approach him or anything until like the very end of the night, and he was walking out with his guitar, and I just said like, hey, keep making beautiful music, you know. And he reached out his hand and he shook my hand, and that was it.
Have you guys ever played any shows with Bay Roots? Because your drummer has a connection to that band, I understand.
It almost happened once when we played this show. We had a show scheduled at this venue called Cameo in Williamsburg, Brooklyn here, and then something happened where the owner of the club got double booked, and he was like, hey, can we move your show to another night? Because we accidentally forgot we have a private party show with Beirut that same night. And we were like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, whatever. And then we're like, actually, you know, let's just put the shows together. And then we were kind of like into having that happen, but then just musically it doesn't really fit, and our audiences are just completely different. And although we've joked about it, there's no crossover. A lot of the people that like Beirut, they're like settling into families, and you know, they have like baby strollers, and they like to hang out at coffee shops, and that's great. You know, I don't think they want to like thrash out and like drink a 40 and like go to a DIY venue. You know. It was fun to entertain, but actually, some news about our drummer, though. We actually just very recently, Ross Condon, our original drummer, has gone on to do other things, and he's not in the band anymore. Yeah, after 2.5 years, he played 200 shows with us, and I think it got to a point where it was too much for him. He wanted to kind of change his lifestyle, and he doesn't really want to live in the public eye. He doesn't really want to like be involved on like a public level. He wants to kind of be like at peace with himself, like at home. Like, doesn't really want to be on stage and stuff.
So you guys found a new drummer?
Yeah, we're trying to like a bunch of new people right now, and we're right in the middle of deciding who it's going to be. And like, we have a guy who's going to do the tour for us that's coming up, and he's really great, and he's a really nice guy and good player. And then when we get back from the road, we're going to reassess who we want it to be, and hopefully we'll know who our new drummer is going to be in about a month or so.
Are you guys getting to the West Coast on this tour?
We originally wanted to, but it all came down to time and logistics, so we only have enough time to do the Midwest and the East Coast and the Great Lakes area around Chicago, St. Paul. And I think the farthest north we're going is like St. Paul, Minnesota. And then the farthest south we're going is like Virginia, and those getting like Baltimore and stuff. But hopefully later in the summer we're going to do a West Coast thing.
I understand you toured with Eric Johnson, this actor, like you played live with him for quite a while.
Yeah, it's very accurate. That was the old me. That was the different Tucker Roundtree. It doesn't exist anymore. No, it was amazing. I have nothing but fond memories of getting to do that. It was a very short period of my life. It was about a year and a half to 2 years off and on. And what happened was I just became really good friends with Eric, and he let me record. And it all started out with he let me record in his private studio, and I did some sessions with his bass player, Roscoe Beck, who is also currently Leonard Cohen's bass player. And we did some sessions on some like original kind of like jazz ideas I had. And I don't know what happened. And then Eric was just kind of like, hey, I need an opening band for this upcoming tour. And that was like 2007, 2008. And so I just went out and did it. And then it became like a thing where it lasted for a while. And it was really cool. But I just realized that I wasn't playing to the right audience. I wasn't playing to my audience. And I had to kind of reinvent myself to be able to find out who my real audience was. And now I feel like I'm finally playing to people that understand and kind of empathize with what I'm I'm personally trying to say.
What kind of, was it like solo, or did you have a band with you, or?
It was mainly a, like a jazz quartet, but it was like a really, really modern kind of almost free jazz quartet. It was bordering on free jazz and kind of postmodern kind of things. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it was really heavily like improvisatory. And then, there were no vocals. But I feel like during that whole time, I was actually trying to figure out how to put vocals into it, but I didn't really know how to combine the two without it sounding really cheesy, you know?
And that's our show. Thanks for listening to Northern Transmissions. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much to Emily and Tucker for their great sense of humor. Thanks to Spencer Douglas Carson, the best producer-engineer out there, who makes the show amazing. I am Charles Brownstein. Check out the band's MySpace or Facebook if you want to get in touch with them. And check us out, please, at www.northerntransmissions.com. Or we're on Twitter at Northern Trans. Let's listen to one more track here. Let's listen to their great cover of Oblivion by Grimes.
Hard to find someone to want.